Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Maria Altman. After what felt like a very long winter in the St. Louis region, it's refreshing to see blooms on trees and gardens cropping up. And one great place to go for a nice big dose of spring is, of course, Forest Park. Forest Park Forever's land management group has come up with some great suggestions for areas of the park especially worth strolling in the coming weeks. And joining me in the studio is Roman Fox, Forest Park Forever's horticulture superintendent. And I want to make a quick note to our listeners. If you have questions about blooms or planting tips for our horticulture superintendent, Roman Fox, give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Or you can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. And Roman, thanks so much for joining us. First, Forest Park Forever is a private nonprofit conservancy that works with the city and the Department of Parks. Mm-hmm. But you have a whole horticulture team. How, what's your staff like?
So we have a staff of 6 horticulturists and 7 full-time gardeners. We have another number of seasonal gardeners. We bring in about 10 seasonal gardeners during the growing season, active growing season, and we'll also bring in a few interns this summer. So all in told, there's going to be 25 or 30 horticultural team members there.
Now, what is this distinction between horticulturists and gardeners?
Yeah, so our horticulturists are our managers, our zone managers, and we break the park down into 6 distinct horticultural operation zones. And so those managers are going to do more of the management and planning strategies for those horticultural areas. The gardeners are there to do a lot of the care and maintenance of the ornamental spaces in the park.
And Forest Park, I know it's bigger than New York City's Central Park.
Yes, it is.
But what is the acreage?
The park itself is a little over 1,300 acres. Within that, though, we do have like the golf course and the zoo and another number of institutions. If you take that property away from the park that we do not manage, we're left with approximately 800 acres in the park. And we work with the city to manage a little over 500 of those. So between the horticulture team and then our nature reserve team, which manages about 170 acres of the natural areas, the woods and the forest and some of our waterways.
That's a lot of area to cover. I'm wondering what the sort of the process is for planning and how many months it takes to really think about, okay, this is what we want it to look like in the spring.
So if we look at just our spring displays and into the summer, our annual flower displays are the summer, they're about a year-long process before we actually get to see them, especially the spring displays. So we're actually having conversations about the 2020 displays today, currently.
Wow.
It's one of those things that we're kind of constantly thinking about the next round of things. So our horticulturists will be putting together formal plans in the coming weeks and months. And we'll review those plans and look at the specifics and, you know, are we getting what we need out of those plans and for the park and for the park goers. And we'll begin, like, procuring that plant material in the summer. And we plant all of our spring bulbs in the fall once our summer displays are done. So we're looking at the months of September and October when we go to plant those. So that the following spring, we have the color and attention that we look for in the park.
I'm wondering right now, what are some of your, you know, what's blooming? If someone goes tomorrow, what are they going to see?
In the park, there's a lot. There's a lot going on currently. We are finishing up kind of our daffodils. Our daffodils are towards the end of their displays, and so some of the later daffodils are coming on and looking great, but I think some of the earlier, like, daffodils are starting to fade. Our tulips are in display currently. This weekend's a wonderful time to go out and look at some of our tulip displays. There will be more to come. There's some that are still just starting to pop. We also have a number of other, you know, natural native bulbs. We have the Virginia bluebells in some of our natural areas. Even some of our drought lily is coming up in some of our natural areas. So if you're going for a walk, there's going to be a lot of that to see all over. We do have a lot of trees that are in bloom. So the magnolias are finishing up. Our cherries are finishing up. But the red buds are really starting to put on a show. So there's these nice pink inflorescence all over the park. So there's just a lot of color in the park, and just a great time to be around.
I am curious, since you are involved in horticulture, mm-hmm. if you have a garden at home or at the end of the day, you're like, no, that's okay.
I do have a garden at home. I do have a garden at home. It's probably not to the liking of myself. I've always looked wanting more and wanted to do more things. But yeah, when I get home at the end of the day, it's not the first thing that I go to, but it is something that I do enjoy. So yeah, it's a passion, so it's easy to do.
I'm wondering what a typical day like, especially for someone like me who spends most of my day in a cubicle in an office. Are you outside most of the day?
I myself personally am in and out, just different kind of things. But our team is out, especially with the weather we've had this spring, which has been magnificent. It's been wonderful for us. We spend a lot of time out in the park. There is no typical day, though. Our days are all over, doing different things, very seasonally driven. But we're also reacting to things that are going on in the park. So as things happen in the park, part of our job is to make sure that it's taken care of, and the next park visitor that comes through gets the same experience as the previous one. So there's no typical day. We are moving around, and it's very seasonal.
I'm wondering if you could sort of pick an area of Forest Park and sort of paint a picture for us, like walk us through for what's happening right now.
Yeah, so one of my favorite parts of the park this time of year is the area around Post-Dispatch Lake and the Emerson Grand Basin. And it's just a wonderful place to go and go for a walk this time of year. So there's a number of spring ephemeral beds in that area. So you'll see daffodils and tulips and a lot of beds around there. There are weeping willows around the lake that are greening up, and they have this very almost like bright, almost chartreuse green that has a really nice structure this time of year. There are flowering trees like red buds and stuff, magnolias. Lots of bulbs underneath those trees. So Picnic Island is a wonderful place to kind of go and look at some really great vistas of the park. And it's just a really nice place to be this time of year. And you get really good views and vistas of some wonderful places over there. So it's a really nice spot.
Well, I should say for those of you listening, if you have any questions about planting, this would be a great time to give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. And we're talking with Roman Fox, the horticulture superintendent at Forest Park. Over the years, can you really think of a time that's been particularly challenging for the growing season? I know you've said this spring has been really wonderful, but have there been years where you thought, all that work and... Yikes.
Yeah, last year was one of those years for us. This time last year, we were very cold and very wet. We had a really late start to the spring, and so it was very challenging. Even though a lot of the spring flowering plants that we plant, like daffodils and tulips, they do stand the cold. They can stand the cold, but it just wasn't the perfect condition for them, so it was a real challenge for our team to keep the park to the level of maintenance that we expect. And then the real challenge for last year was it went from kind of cold and wet to really hot in about mid-May. So there was no real nice spring that we're having right now last year. So we have those challenges we get them every couple seasons or something about the season that's a little bit challenging. But it's not the end of the world. We have to work around it, and our team does a pretty good job of handling it.
Are there any new varieties of plants that are at Forest Park in the last couple of years, and new techniques mm-hmm. that you're using?
Yeah, we're always looking at improvements of the plant material that we're using, or the techniques of the way we're caring for it. Those are always changing. But I would say that we're doing a lot of improvements around the park, Forest Park Forever, and we have a number of really nice areas that have been gone through some major renovations, and the landscapes have changed. And so a couple of those areas have come on pretty recently, but one of those is the area of the Emerson Central Fields. And in a few weeks, on April 25th, we're going to have a nice celebration there called Party Central. So welcome the public to come out and see these spaces that have been improved and a lot of the new plant material that's gone in and the new landscapes that have been placed there. So we're always looking at ways to improve the park experience for all visitors. And the plant material, we always like trying new things. We're you know, a lot of our horticulturists and gardeners are plant geeks at heart. So when the new plants come out and we see new things, we're always fun to try those.
Well, I think we have a call here from Susan, who's over in the Metro East. And okay. Susan, why don't you go ahead?
Hi. So great to get to talk to you.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. And I do appreciate Don Marsh a lot.
Oh, well, thank you. Do you have a question regarding planting?
I do. Okay, I have shrubs. I guess they're boxwood. They get bigger every year, and I don't always trim them. Some people apparently radically cut them back to just the stems. Will they live, and will they leaf out? And then I have pretty much the same question about some small, I have trimmed these. They are small honeysuckle plants that are quite beautiful right now and leafy green. I resolved to cut them way back. So tell me about that, please.
Yeah, so if you have the ability to not drastically cut back the boxwoods, they're probably better to not do that. If you can reduce the boxwoods over a multi-year period in incremental steps, it's probably better for the health of the plant. So one of the things about a thing like a plant like boxwood, which is evergreen, is that the interior of the plant will not have a lot of green leaf material as it grows. It creates like an outer shell of leaf material. If you remove that, you're left with just kind of this stemmy trunk. It will regrow. It won't look real good, though. You can drastically cut them back. They will regrow. But if you can do it incrementally over two growing seasons where you remove think of it as maybe a mesh where you're removing strategically half of it so that sunlight can penetrate into that shell and regenerate some new growth in that first growing year so that when you cut it back the second year, you can reduce it further, but there's now green material in the inside of it that can be a little bit more of a pleasant presentation whenever you get that second growing year. So if you can do it incrementally, it's probably better for the health of the plant and for the aesthetics of the plant. And then the same thing with the honeysuckle and things, other plants, a lot of the deciduous shrub plants do really well with just being cut back drastically. It's a technique that we do in the park. It really allows the plant to spend a lot of energy to regrow in a healthy way. So if it's deciduous and loses its leaves in the winter, it can be done.
Thanks, Susan, for your question. And Roman, I'm wondering, what are your top tips for home gardeners? And are there particular misconceptions that gardeners typically have that you can quickly say, no?
The top tips for gardening, I think, is just be mindful of water. You can overwater a plant, but most of the time, the overwatering of a plant is because of frequency. It's better to give infrequent heavy waterings than frequent light waterings. And so instead of watering it every other day or every day on a schedule, pay attention to the weather, pay attention to the soil in which it's growing in, and make sure that the plant has adequate water, but it's not saturated completely. So I think that a lot of plant health care starts with adequate moisture. And so that's, I think, the best place to start when looking at taking care of your plant material.
Well, home gardeners certainly have to deal with animals. And I'm at Forest Park, you're dealing with wildlife. So how do you deal with animals that destroy your plants?
We very carefully. it is a challenge. Probably not as much as some of the other parks in the area. We don't have a large deer population that can be very destructive, but we do have lots of rabbits that are very destructive. So We really look at the type of plant material we're choosing in the first place, and if there's a possibility of getting something that may not be as appetizing to wildlife, we select that. Otherwise, we use as many techniques as we can. Repellents, there's lots of kind of animal-based products that are repellent and pungent in smell that will repel other animals. And just we are constantly watching and observing and trying to mitigate the problems before they happen and become too much. But there's sometimes that we lose that battle. The rabbits in the park are undefeated at this point. So, but we do recognize that wildlife is a part of the park experience too. So our plants don't. We don't eradicate animals and wildlife for the sake of the plants. Things have to work in harmony. So we know that the visitor is coming for many reasons, and we want to make sure that we have everything for them when they come.
Well, you know, I asked you earlier if you're a home gardener, and I'm wondering if you're able to really take time and appreciate the beauty of where you work on a regular basis or not.
Absolutely every day. I say this very frequently around the team and with people that I feel like I have the best office in the city. It is a beautiful location, and every day there's something in the park that catches my attention. Even on the nastiest rainy days or the cold days, there's some really wonderful parts of the park and a lot of beauty there. So it's definitely a treasure.
What are you telling your friends? What part of the park are you saying you got to go see this?
Yeah, and that's like I said earlier. I think this time of year is the there's a lot. I can't narrow it down too far, but I do love the kind of Grand Basin Post Dispatch Lake area. The Government Hill is really coming on this time of year too. It's a wonderful place to visit. So all in that same area. So the World's Fair Pavilion is a great place to be. If you come into the park, you can stop at the visitor center and get a lot of information, but there's a lot of wonderful trees and plantings around the visitor center, and just along our trails, our natural areas are really coming in and are really beautiful this time of year. So I don't know, I could just start naming off the rest of the park.
And a very big team that takes a lot of care to make all of that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they're a very talented team and a very passionate team, and so it's a wonderful group to work with, and it's definitely a pleasure to have the responsibility to work in that environment.
Well, our time is running short, and so that is it for us today. But Roman Fox, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, the horticulture specialist for Forest Park. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.